old fast, and when you think about fast, that word doesn't mean like not slow. When the Bible uses the word hold fast, it means so as to be hard to move or secure. For example, the ship was held fast by the anchor. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight, church, that we're held fast by the anchor? Amen. And that anchor is Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at a few scriptures tonight, and I just feel like preaching, so I hope you put dippity-doo in your hair, because it'll be back like this when we get done. I'm just being silly. Do they still make dippity-doo? I don't even know. I'm dating myself, I'm sure. 1 Thessalonians, if you want to turn with me to these scriptures. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at verse 16. Rejoice always. Sometimes that's a little hard to do. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Boy, doesn't that convict us a little bit, doesn't it? You got a toothache, you got a backache, you got a headache, you got a neck ache, and all things give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I've had people say to me, well, Brother Roger, I want to know what God's will is for my life. I say, give thanks. Well, I do give thanks, but I want to know what the will of God is. What? Give thanks. Well, yeah, I understand that, but, you know, give thanks. You know, when we begin to thank God, we are freeing the Holy Spirit up to just part the waters and level the mountains and take care of everything in our lives. Amen. Do not quench the Spirit. Now, when we sin, we quench the Spirit. That's why we shouldn't sin. You know, when we talk about quenching, you know, like water on fire, right? And the Holy Spirit backs up. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. And so we don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. And so here's that word, hold fast. You know, back in the old days, the Pentecostal days, the days of my grandmother, they were convinced that these young Christians were going to backslide from last Sunday to the next Sunday, and sometimes they did. And so they'd always say, are you holding on? Are you holding fast? You know, and that's what that meant. Did you slip this week? Did you slide? You know, we use the word backslide. I had a dear Baptist brother say to me one time, you know, the word backslide isn't in the Bible. I said, actually, it is. You know, don't try to act like you're an authority on the Bible if you don't read the Bible, okay? Just saying that. And the word backslide refers to Israel when they fell away from the Lord. It refers to a heifer that puts its neck down and slides backwards to get the yoke off its neck, right? And sometimes that's what Christians do, and so we're told to hold on or hold fast. It means don't slide back. You know, with the Lord, you're either going forward or you're sliding backwards. There's no standing still. And so you have to hold on to God's unchanging hand. You have to hold fast to that anchor that holds us in the midst of perilous times. You know, it's a lot like the salmon that swim upstream to spawn. You know, there's a constant current of the God of this world that's coming against us. And if you just stand still, you're going to slide back. Amen. You're just going to float back. And, man, I tell you, I learned to swim in current like that in the Illinois River, you know. And you do a lot of work against that current, and it takes you like 5 minutes to go 5 feet or something, you know. But think of the exercise you're getting, amen. We're to exercise ourselves spiritually, and the way we do that is to hold fast to what is good, you know. And who is good? God is good, amen, all the time, right? And all the time, God is good, that's right. And so we're to hold fast, you know. And when it says don't quench the Spirit, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about do these things, you know, in all things give thanks. Don't quench the Spirit. These are part of the aspects of holding on, of holding fast. So as I started to say in my grandmother's days, they'd say to you, are you holding on? Are you yet holding on? And you say, yeah, Grandma. Well, keep on keeping on, right? and then they give you a quarter or something, you know. Keep on keeping on. Keep the faith. That's what we're admonished to do. Keep the faith. And that's when we say, when we're holding on, that's what we're talking about. We're really talking about the faith. Amen? Because the devil is a liar, isn't he? And he will love to twist and distort things in your life. And he'll say, look, God's not good. Look at what you're going through. Look at what happened. Look what he did. Look what she did. Look at this. Look at that. And it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. We are required to hold on. Amen? There's storms coming in our lives. If you're on the deck of a big sailing ship and waves 15 feet higher crashing over the deck, you're not going to just stand there with your hands in pocket. You're going to be holding on. Amen? If you don't, you're going over the edge. And this is what life is like as a Christian. The onslaughts of hell, the waves are crashing across our deck sometimes. And God is saying to you and me, don't quit, hold on. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at, let's go ahead and read verse 23 and then we'll move on. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you and sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, something I noticed when I was looking at these verses, that just about every one of these hold on, end, or somewhere in it, have something about Jesus' coming. Isn't that interesting? Because that's the whole point of holding on. You know, it's about being held in place because you're so close to the finish line. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Amen. I said he's coming. And when he comes, he wants you to be ready. He says, I've talked about the coming of the Lord to people, and they always quote the scripture, well, you know, he's coming as a thief in the night. Yeah, he said he's coming as a thief in the night to those who are not watching. Amen. So if you're watching, he's not coming as a thief in the night, only to the ones that are not watching. And since they're not watching, yeah, you're right for you, but not for me, because I'm holding on. Amen. I'm watching. I want to be ready. Now, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to begin reading at verse 6. And of course, this is Paul as the master of the run-on sentence. I guess we'll back up to 5. And Moses indeed was faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now, what are we holding? We are holding fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. The confidence. You know, one of the snares of the devil is when we slip up. Maybe we lose our temper, we lust, pride, greed. You know, we can go down the list of the sins of the flesh and all this. But when we do that, Satan, who is known as the accuser of the brethren, will be right there. And he will begin to lie and tell you what a miserable, dirty, rotten, unworthy sinner you are. And his goal is to take away your confidence. And see, we think our confidence needs to be in us. Well, no, it couldn't be farther from the truth. Our confidence is in him. Amen. And so the holding fast is not, well, I'm not allowed to sin. I can't slip. I got to hold fast. No, the holding fast is the faith or the confidence in the God that saved me is the same God that can keep me. Amen. And so that's my confidence in him. Hallelujah. Yeah. And when I begin to recognize that he's big enough to save me, he's also big enough to keep me. He's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day, right? Then that's the confidence that I'm holding fast on. Hallelujah. And so when the devil comes and he goes, oh, you blew it again. You hypocrite. Look what you did. Right? You call yourself a Christian. And then you say, but I'm holding on. Yeah, but look what you did. But I'm holding on. I'm holding on to the confidence I have in him. See, when he died on that cross and said it's finished, it's a finished work. He's looking at it from the eternal perspective. It means I get through the finish line. I walk on the streets of gold. I'm more than a conqueror, and that's what I'm holding on to. Amen? Now, in the process of moving, I opened up one of those boxes that they have the copy paper in and lifted up what's in here. Oh, yeah. It's my Atari 2600 from 1985 with about 30 of those little cartridges. Well, what does that have to do with anything, Brother Raj? Well, I'll tell you what it had to do with it. We had just transferred from Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska, to Dyess Air Force Base in Abilene, Texas. And Nathan was about 1 year old. He was the only child. And we had about $60 till payday, and we're pinching pennies. I don't know, we may have had 80, something like that. And I wanted an Atari 2600. And being the mature, responsible new father and husband that I was, I went out and bought me one. And left about $15 in the checking account. At which point, Deborah said to me, "I'm going home to mother." And she and little Nathan got on a bus and went back to Nebraska. And I'm crying, "Oh, God, what did I do?" All of a sudden, that Atari didn't look nearly as glamorous. So I had to move all of my... We were on a waiting list for base housing. I'm in a roach-infested rent house in western Texas. And if you know anything about western Texas, everything's big in Texas, including the roaches. So I had to move all that into storage. I had to move into barracks where I had a roommate who played a black guy, played Prince at 5,000 decibels, and it was not a happy period of time in my life. And so this particular day I went out and I fasted all day and prayed, you know, "God, forgive me, bring me back my wife, a little boy." And I walked out after work. I came in, took off my dress blues, put on some jeans, walked out behind the barracks. Abilene, Texas is built on a dried up riverbed. So it don't take long till there's no grass, and I'm walking out back, and I'm praying, and the stars are coming out, and I'm crying, and I'm praying, and looking up to heaven, and the Lord speaks to me, and he says, "She'll come back." So I dried my tears. Now, you people that don't know what payphones are, you won't get this, but I went and got, you know, $5 worth of quarters, dropped them in a payphone, called Nebraska. Said, "The Lord said, you're coming back." She said, "I hate your guts. I'm never coming back." Right? And I'm standing there holding the phone, and I look up the Lord, and he says, "Who are you going to listen to, her or me?" And that's when the Lord began to teach me about holding on to his promises. Amen. Now, did I deserve his promises? No. Was I stupid? Yes. Should I? Anyway, go on. So at that point, for the next 4 or 5 months, and she did come back, and we got in base housing and had a great time, you know, and all this stuff. But during those 4 or 5 months, there was so much temptation to not believe the promise of God. I remember a lady that worked down the hall heard about my situation, and she came and walked up to my desk and leaned over and said, "If you don't get you an attorney, you will never see your son again." Now, these are the voices of doubt, fear, and unbelief. And they always come against the promises of God. They always come against the promises. They always come against the promises of God. Right? And the challenge is to take God at his word. Now, obviously, people have a free will. And there are situations where you can't force someone's will unless God gives you a word to stand on. Amen? And in this particular place, he did. And so, sure enough, I just quit worrying about it. And, you know, here's the thing. If you truly are holding on to the promise of God, you stop worrying. Right? You stop worrying. I mean, if you're worrying, you're not holding on. So, anyway, that's the Atari 2600 story. And so our text here, Hebrews 3, again, 6. I'm going to go back and read this again, and we're going to read a little bit more. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. A little farther. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the days of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with them of that generation and said, they will always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And that word rest there is what I'm talking about. It's where you quit worrying. You say, I'm just going to hold on. God's got this, right? Now, I want to read you 3:6 out of the Living Bible, because I think it says it very plainly. I can get the glare off of here. This is verse 6. But Christ, God's faithful Son, is in complete charge of God's house, and we Christians are God's house. He lives in us. If we keep up our courage firm to the end, and our joy and our trust in the Lord. Now, does this mean we won't have problems? Does this mean people won't let us down? Does this mean that we may have dark days? Yeah, absolutely. But it's not that we're keeping up with everything around us, that everything is perfect, that everything's a bed of roses. It's our courage of trusting the Lord. Courage firm to the end, and our joy and our trust in the Lord, right? People will let you down. You can't trust people, right? You really can't. But you can trust the Lord. Amen. In fact, we're admonished to trust him with what? All our heart, right? Amen. Now, flip on over to chapter 4 of Hebrews, and we're going to look at verse 14. 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now, when this lady came to me and said, you better get an attorney, you'll never see your son again, I had two choices. I could keep quiet and just go, you know, nod. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people, we will do that because we don't want them to think we're like a loony bird, right? You know, but that's almost like sin in the eyes of God when you're supposed to confess your faith in his ability. And so I knew I had to say, even though she was going to think I was like one of those religious nuts, the Lord said she'll be back, right? And at that point, she kind of rolled her eyes and walked away. The Lord said she'll be back. The Lord said, I'm going to supply all your needs according to the riches and glory. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And so, seeing then we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Amen. It's what we say. Jesus said, if you look at yonder mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but you will have, you and believe, you will have what you think. No. You will have what you say, right? And so it's got to come out of your mouth. It can't be, well, you know, and sometimes, yes, it's easy, it's very easy when you're going through trials to want to talk to someone about your trials. And we need brothers and sisters to talk about and say, oh, you can't believe what I'm going through, man. And you know, the scripture says, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. But once you get past that, you can't live there. You cannot live there. You have to start saying, God said this. God said that. And we put our faith in what God said, right? Jesus, our high priest, passed through the heavens, the Son of God. So let us hold fast our confession. You know, back again, I'm going back to the 50s, the Pentecostal holiness movement. You know, back then, and it's hard to get people to testify. Maybe some people haven't been around that kind of stuff, or they say, I don't know what to say. But back in those old days, they'd get up and they'd say, I want to give glory to God. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, mighty burning fire, right? Or something like that. You know, and they, They all testified. I mean, they couldn't wait to stand up and brag on Jesus. And that's that confession. Amen. And I know I'm kind of saying it, you know, like, you know, and it sounds kind of funny here and that. But, you know, praise God. Jesus said to his disciples, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you, but that your name is written in heaven. And that's something to testify about. That's something to confess about. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God my name is written in heaven. There is something about me in heaven. I'm not there yet, but my name is, because I put my faith in Jesus Christ and I'm holding on. Amen. Glory to God. That's something to get happy about. That's something to shout about. And yes, we're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. You know, Paul shipwrecked on that island. And you know, he told them, don't go. And I like how he even told them, you should have listened to me, you know, when the ship's about to be broken apart. But he told them, you know, be of good cheer. The angel of the Lord has stood by me tonight. None of us are going to die. And they all made it to the shore, hanging on to floating boards. And then, you know, and this kind of almost goes back to that thing I said Sunday about the broken vase, you know. Just when you think you've made it through one trial, here comes the devil in another one, right? And Paul is carrying wood. You remember the story from Acts. And they're building a fire, and a serpent comes out of that wood, that fire, and latches himself on Paul's hand. Now, Paul did not freak out. I might have freaked out. You might have freaked out, but he shook it off. And you know, I think that sometimes this holding on to God requires a shaking off of the devil, amen? And you can't hold on to God and hold on to your problem. You got to shake it off. Shake it off and make the devil take it back. And you can't change people, but you can change the way you view your problem. Shake it off. Say, okay, devil, there, take it. Go run in the fire with it. I'm holding on to Jesus. I'm holding on. My anchor is secure. Let hell rage. My anchor is secure. Let the winds blow. My anchor is secure. I'm holding on. I'm holding on. I'm still holding on. Amen. And, you know, we're going to cross the finish line, many of us, with a lot of scars. Physical scars, emotional scars, broken hearts, a lot of things. But what we cannot do is not hold on. We have to keeping on. Keep on. My first pastor, Pastor Sam Mayo, that was his version back in the 70s of the hold on is, are you keeping on? Keep on keeping on. And when you can't keep on a little longer, he always said. And that's what we do. We keep on keeping on. Amen. We keep on keeping on. That's holding on. And so it is the confession that we're holding on to. We're holding on to the confession that I'm saved, that I'm sanctified, that God loves me in spite of myself, in spite of my circumstances, in spite of all the things I'm going through. God is on the throne. My name is written in heaven. I'm saved, and it's going to be all right. Amen? Because I'm trusting the Lord. Praise God. Now we're going to go on over to Hebrews 10, verse 21. Hebrews 10, 21. Well, let's go back to 19. Now these are all starting in the middle of a sentence. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So not only am I holding fast the confession of my hope, I'm doing it without wavering. Now, I have been guilty of wavering. I'm sure you have too. You know, where one day you're like, oh yeah, God's got this. It's all right. The next day you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You don't know what I'm going through, right? That's called wavering, right? So we're to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Glory to God. People may not be faithful, but God is faithful. Amen. People may let you down. God will never let you down. And so this is why we hold on to our confession without wavering, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I'm the Lord, I change not. If He said it, He'll do it, and if He spoke it, He'll bring it to pass. I can trust God. I can't trust people, but I can trust God, and God is on the throne. He has not vacated His throne. He has not for 1 minute stepped down to go on a coffee break. He is still on the throne, and God has our life in the palm of His hand. So just go ahead and hold on. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's read on just a little bit more. Let us consider, well, let's back up. Okay, so verse 23 again, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, pardon me, Faith Fellowship people, I'm going to talk to you guys out in Facebook land for a minute. Some of you people have been watching me faithfully, and I know some of you have a church home, and I appreciate it. Some of you don't. And I'm glad that you're watching, but you need to be in a church somewhere too. And I'm glad if I'm your pastor and that's all you got, I'm not trying to turn you off, but the Bible says not to forsake the assembling yourself. There is something about coming with brothers and sisters in the house of God, and it will lift your spirit, and it can't just be done with a Facebook sermon or a YouTube sermon from this guy or that guy. That's all good, and we're thankful that you're watching. We are. But the Scripture says, all the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus Christ is coming again. And He said the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. So find you a good Bible-believing church and get in it. End of commercial. All right. Now the last thing we're going to look at tonight, we're going to wrap this up, is the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And of course, John on the Isle of Patmos gets a word. This is not the revelation of John. John the Revelator is a good song, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. And chapter 3, of course, is the letters to the churches. And chapter 3, verse 3, I guess I need to get in Revelation. I'm in 1 John. Pardon me. Sorry. All right, let's try that again. I was like, that's not right. Chapter 3, verse 3, be watchful and strengthen the thing which remains that are ready to die, for I have not found works. Wait, that's the, hold on, back up. Okay, there we go, I'm sorry. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. What does that mean? Remember how you've received and heard. Think back when you got saved. That's what that means. Remember. You know, I can take you, if you can't take someone to the place and time, and it may not always be an altar in a church, but you should have some point in your life where you can consciously say, the day I said yes to Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that you walked an aisle or whatever. For me, I walked an aisle. I could take you to Bellevue, Nebraska, and show you the place. And so he's saying to this church, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. And what are you repenting of? Repenting of not remembering and holding fast. You know, we're saved by the grace of God, but it is through our confession. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart. And so, in my opinion, a Christian should always continue to confess this thing. It's not something you say one time and then, okay, well, that's all nice and good. Because, again, we're prone to backsliding. We're prone to compromising. We're prone to listening to the devil and having the currents push us back away from the Lord. And so we're admonished to remember, therefore, how you've received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. And again, see how all of these watching ones are tied to the coming of Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? And so that goes back to the testimony service that I said they had back in the 50s, you know, where he would stand up and say, I'm saved, sanctified, whatever. You know, this is that remembering. This is that rehearsing. You know, I love to tell the story of how I got saved. I love to read testimonies of how some of these great saints got saved. You know, and there's some amazing stories. I mean, there's guys who were Skid Row drunks falling down in I won't go into detail, in their own whatever. And you think nobody could save this guy. Nobody could and yet God does. And you read these stories and you go, look what the Lord did. And I wish I could remember the name and the song. It's not Amazing Grace. That's a whole different story, and that's a great story if you ever read about the slavery. But this guy, the story goes that he was a town drunk, and he had a wife and a daughter, and the daughter's dying. Have I told this story before? I probably have, haven't I? And the daughter is dying. She's a little young girl, maybe about 3 or 4. And they finally find this old Skid Row drunk, and they tell him, you know, you need to come home and sober up. Your daughter, they've given her days, and she, you know, and she dies. And they have the funeral, and she's there looking all pretty dressed, these little red shoes on. And the old father, drunk, never shows up. And so everybody pays the respects, and they go. And the funeral director's in his office, and he hears the door open. And he sees the old drunk father come in and walk down that long aisle. And he thinks, well, at least he's coming to pay respect, only to see him steal the red shoes off her feet to sell to buy a bottle of booze. And you look at that and you say, that guy deserves hell. But not by our Jesus, amen. Because he did get saved. And he penned a great hymn, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. But these are the testimonies. These are the things that we're told to rehearse and remember and to begin to roll these over in our minds, because that helps us hold on, that God can save anybody, that God can fix anything, that God is still on the throne, and that's why we hold on. Amen. And of course, then in this scripture here, he tells us to be watchful, strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you've received and heard, and hold fast and repent. And you know what? Repenting is simply just asking God to help you not do it again. You know, people say, well, you know, I repented and I did it again. Well, you know, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, John wrote, right? And so we do, you know. Even if you say, I repent, but I'm afraid I'll do it again, because you know how many times I've failed God? Well, just ask him again. The blood never loses its power, amen? And so that's why we hold on. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. He's a liar, amen? He's a liar. If you're here today and the devil's been really just flushing you down the drain, listen to what I'm saying. He's a liar. He's a liar. Look at somebody and say, he's a liar. There you go. He's a liar. He is a liar. He's the father of lies. And if you listen to him, he will drag you down. And so we don't listen to him. We shake it off in the fire and we hold on, because Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. We're holding on to your unchanging hand this night. We're holding on because you are our anchor. You are our rock. You are our strength. And though the waves may crash across the deck of our ship, we are confident, Lord, not in our own strength, not in our own ability, but in the power of God. And therefore, we hold on. We hold on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming.